What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
There's at least a team or two out there where they're on the fence and looking at it and saying, well, like, this isn't working completely the way we want it to, but maybe it looks better than what's out there on the market, right? You don't have a Ben Johnson or Mike Vrabel. And I would have sat here last year at this time and told you guys, like, Ben Johnson's getting a job, Mike Vrabel's getting a job. I'm almost positive, right? That those two guys are going to wind up a job. And they got jobs, and I don't know that there's anybody I feel that way about this year.
Albert Breer on with Afternoon Drive yesterday. A lot of good stuff in there about where things sit when it comes to Kevin Stefanski, where it sits with Andrew Berry, Dan Menigan, Spencer German in for Baskin and Phelps today. We've got you till 2 o'clock. Kevin Stefanski's press conference live for Berea at 12:35 today. The legend Tim May will join us at high noon as well. 1:20, Daryl Ryder will show up. I'm fascinated, Spence, by everything that is coming out when it comes to Kevin Stefanski, where he is sitting in a coaching situation, and how everybody has the same general spot that we're in, which is this is a very 50-50 type of situation. Where, for those of you who are just catching up, Jeremy Fowler saying the Browns did a preliminary research when it's come to head coaching candidates, but that doesn't hammer anything home. But it's very 50-50, Spence. Do you see it that way? Do you see it as 50-50?
So here's why I see it 50-50, because Jimmy has him as unpredictable as it gets. That's why.
That's
like,
very true.
Like I've said this for weeks now. Like, if we wake up Monday morning and we get breaking the Browns are firing Kevin Stefanski, wouldn't be surprised in the least. Like we just talked about, you win 7 games in 2 seasons, you kind of lose your way with the offense, the problems that we've seen this year. It makes sense that a coach would get fired. I would not be surprised by that. I would also not be surprised, though, if the breaking news from Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport and all these insiders ends up being breaking. The Browns have reaffirmed their confidence in this regime and are running it back in 2026 with Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, because Jimmy has him as a wild card. Like, and that, I don't mean that in like,
no,
he just is. Like,
I know what you mean.
He could make any decision here. And over the course of his time owning this team, he's done that. Like, that's why there's questions over, did he order the code red when it came to drafting Shador Sanders? Because people know that he's just a wild card. We don't know. And a lot of owners are. It's not just a Jimmy Haslam thing. A lot of owners are wild cards.
Yeah.
But that's the reason why I don't know where this is going to go. And that's why I guess it can still be considered 50-50. But I got to be honest. Like I said in the first segment, I have a hard time believing that, like, if this stuff is getting out there, that they're leaning towards keeping everything intact. It just seems like there's too much smoke here. And I think we've known that for a while, that it probably has to change. But if they win this game on Sunday and they beat the Bengals, would I be surprised if we wake up Monday and Jimmy Haslam's all of a sudden like, you know what, the way this team play at the end of the season, I'm gonna keep things status quo? Because I do think he wants a reason, or he wanted a reason this season to keep everything status quo. He talks so glowingly about this regime for most of the season, so I get that. But I ultimately think it's probably time to change something. Now, we can, you know, argue over whether or not we think changing one thing or both things or everything and nothing is like what's fair here. But to me, I think it probably really isn't 50-50 when it comes to this, because they're poking around. But because it's Jimmy Haslam, yes, it's absolutely still 50-50, because he could do anything on Monday.
So it's so funny that we still think that he could do anything. Like, it feels what. And the only reason that I say it that way is because it's the ultimate can a tiger change its stripes question. You know, because Jimmy Haslam for the last 5 years has been so patient.
Doesn't that prove that he has sort of changed his stripes to a degree? I'm not saying that
right
in these moments, maybe not totally, like when he gets the chance to fire somebody or not, that we're going to find that out. But I feel like the last 5 years have told us he's changed a little bit. He's done things differently, and that is commendable. But I just think, like, when push comes to shove, Sunday night to Monday, what is he going to do? Like, we truly don't know exactly what he's going to do because it's Jimmy Haslam.
So our social media mentions are powered by Schweppes Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. You can always send a tweet to me at the Sports Feller on Twitter, at Spencito _ if you want to get a hold of Spencer as well, like Michael does here. This doesn't feel like a quote-unquote kicking the tires scenario for the Browns. To me, when I hear preliminary, I think the first steps of the beginning stages of the process, in this case of finding their next head coach. But again, if you were an NFL team that won 3 games and has a chance to win 5, but currently is sitting at 4, after having somebody in the building for the last 6 years, I kind of think you would do this anyway. Like, I personally believe, so I always had this thought when it came to MLB GMs, that if you walked up to any general manager in Major League Baseball and said, what's the price tag for Mike Trout? If they didn't have an answer for you, they should be fired immediately. I've always thought the same thing when it's come to coaches in all sports, that there is a locked drawer somewhere with a list on it of guys that they would be interested in if for some reason you need to make a coaching change. I've always thought that was the case, because that's not being against anybody. That's not saying you're going to want to fire somebody. That's not saying it's a wish list. It's doing your job.
Yeah.
Like, in the same way that you're doing your job by knowing exactly what you would have to trade for Mike Trout, or in this case, it would be somebody whose body hasn't completely fallen apart on him, but you get what I'm saying. I look at that maybe as the quote-unquote kicking the tires, or looking at it, you know, as a preliminary search, as even him going, all right, get the key ring. Let's open the drawer. All right. Of these names, who's still left? Like, it could easily be because that's just doing your job. Like, that's just having an eye out in front of you of saying, like, all right, if something
so
were
this
to
kinda,
happen.
This kind of comes down to the semantics of what does preliminary research, or whatever the exact phrasing was from Jeremy Fowler, what does that mean?
Right.
Because if it's just, all right, do we like any of these names out here?
Right.
Then, which, by the way, I think that's one of the more fascinating arguments when it comes to whether or not to move on from Kevin. I'm going to go on a tangent here for a second, but
go.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
The floor is yours.
One of the biggest arguments I've heard against firing Kevin Stefanski, and I'm not saying, you know, I think most of the fan base is probably over Kevin Stefanski at this point. That's my feeling. I could be wrong, and ready to move on. But there is certainly a contingent of fans that throw out the statement of like, well, what's out there that's better? Or like, if we move on, he's going to go somewhere else and have success. Like, why would we do this? And I understand those arguments, but I also think that's like living from a place of your own fears. Like, you can't worry about if you think it's time in your building, it's just time. You can't worry about like what he's going to do next or what names are out there. And I point you to Liam Cohen with the Jaguars. Liam Cohen was basically like a laughingstock when he took that job last year. The way he got there, he like took an interview and then like went back to Tampa, and then like it was real weird. And then we found out like he wasn't going to take the job if Trent Baalke was still there, so they fired Trent Baalke and he kind of got his way. Then they hired him. Then he does the weird Duvall thing, and it became a joke. Like, it was like, this guy's running the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Side quest for half a second. The way that he said that sounded so much like the little green men from Toy Story that it continued to throw me off. Every time Duvall. I play that cut, the way he went, It literally, I was waiting for him to go, the clock.
The clock will determine who will stay and who will go.
Honestly, you could throw that into the movie. You could throw that into the movie and nobody would think it. Nobody would. It would just sound like it was something that they were saying when they're in that the big like toy thing together where yes. they get plucked by the claw.
Oh, yeah, it broke
100%.
Me.
That's really funny.
The minute that he did Duval, I immediately was like, what are you, one of the little green men? Like, what the hell is this?
But you see the point here. Like, yes. This is what we're talking about with
sorry,
him.
Back to what you're saying.
This is what we're talking about with him. Like, we were picturing him as a character in Toy Story after that, and it's like this guy's running the Jaguars, like they'll be looking for a new coach in 2026. But like now fast forward to this year, look where the Jaguars are. And I'm not saying it can't change quickly.
What?
In this league, guys can falter and succeed year over year, you know, one year to the next. It all changes very quickly, of course. But all of a sudden, like he's gotten the Jaguars to a place where I think they're playing this weekend. They have a chance to win the number one seed in the AFC if things go right for them. So my point in this is, was anybody looking at last year's list of candidates and saying, man, Liam Cohen, well, that's the guy. And so that's the thing. Like, I'm not saying that the list is great. I'm not saying that you might not love a lot of names on the list. I get that. But sometimes you just don't know.
So I was a Liam Cohen guy.
Okay.
On that whole thing, which I know is a very, very small circle, maybe just because I'm one of the little green men standing next to him. But like, what he was able to do with Baker Mayfield, what he was able to do with that Tampa Bay offense and piece it together from there, like I thought that was a smart hire when they made it. And especially when they got rid of Trent Baalke to do it, it made more sense. So I was behind that hire. Now, did I think it would go this well? No. No, I did not think that they would end up, you know, making Trevor Lawrence into one of the better quarterbacks in football and setting this thing up really, really well for them in the playoffs and the future being really bright. Like, but that was a young and up-and-coming roster. They married it with an offensive-minded head coach who built an offense around what Trevor Lawrence does best.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Well, and
smart
I
thing
think
to do.
You talk about the offensive coordinator part of this, like when he was at Baker Mayfield. I think there were questions about, like, was it Liam Cohen or was it, like, Dave Canales who was there before? Like, they had all these other offensive coordinators who had worked with Baker.
Right.
That it was like, which one is it? So I get what you're saying. Like, I think that was the thing that made him a viable option for teams. But I don't know that everybody felt that way where it was like, we're giving Liam Cohen credit for, you know, Baker Mayfield's success. Because I think they were like, maybe it's just Baker's been
maybe
working
Bake
well.
Figured
with
it out.
Yeah, yeah.
And
exactly.
Some of it probably should go to Bake for figuring it out. Now it's been a little up and down. I have a feeling we're going to end this season and we're going to find out that Bake was banged up. Yeah. But the reason that I also point that one out, I am someone who, if I am going to build an offense, and we know this league is built on scoring points, if I am going to build an offense, I want an offensive-minded head coach. And right now, as I look around the landscape of the NFL, it's basically like Clint Kubiak. I don't want anybody who worked with Josh Allen because I think Josh Allen is the ultimate cheat code. I think Josh Allen will solve all of your problems by literally just being Superman.
I also think what Josh Allen did is rare, which
yes.
is you have like a rawness to your game. And we saw that the first couple of years that he was in the NFL. And it was like, how is a coach going to ever get this out of him? Somebody always talks themselves into it. They're like, we're going to do it. I honestly, Josh Allen and his trajectory, what he's done has probably set back like quarterback development, like for teams for years, because there's always going to be now a coach that can say, well, I can do what Brian Daboll did with Josh Allen. I can do that.
Right.
And it's really hard to harness when you have that raw ability and but you still make a lot of mistakes. And like I can vividly remember him throwing up a ball to a fullback in the playoffs in double coverage against the Houston Texans. And I was like, what are you doing? Brian Daboll did that, but I don't know that that's really replicable around the NFL. Like that's a hard thing to be able to coach out of somebody is what they did with Josh Allen.
I tell this story all the time. We used to sit at my buddy's house watching playoff games, and we would literally play good Josh Allen, bad Josh Allen. Like legitimately would sit there, like, good play good idea, bad idea from the Animaniacs. Like, where we would sit there and go, good Josh Allen, bad Josh Allen. Like, it was, like, legitimately, like, riding the Josh Allen roller coaster. But he cleaned up his footwork. He cleaned up his arm angle. He worked really hard on all of those different things. And is one of the only quarterbacks I've ever seen whose accuracy improved. I mean, that used to be the go-to thing for quality of a quarterback in the NFL. Was if you were accurate in college, you were probably going to be accurate in the pros.
Yeah.
And that whole thing just went to the wayside. Josh Allen bucked the trend. It's part of the reason I don't want anybody who worked with Josh Allen, because I think the guy's just a superhero. So he'll fix everything that you do wrong because he's Josh Allen. And so when you look at the landscape as well, it makes me think that if you're looking around, go, boy,
if I want another offensive-minded head coach, I don't know if that guy exists right now. I don't know if the offensive-minded head coach is out there that's making me go, damn, that's worth me canning my coach. Corey brings up the idea of possibly on Twitter of possibly Tommy Reese being a bridge coach. I don't want to live life with a bridge coach. That doesn't sound like an answer either.
I don't like that. If you're hiring Tommy Reese.
I'm in for any idea. There's no bad ideas in a brainstorm, and I don't mean that cruel, but that to me is not the best idea you have, because that's basically having the sword of Damocles hanging over your head the entire time.
If you're hiring Tommy Reese, it's because you're trying to get out in front of this guy is that hot candidate that in a couple years is going to be like in the mix for like legit head coaching interest. And we think we're going to sort of beat the curve on this and get him in there. I actually will say this. You're talking about finding an offensive coach. I actually wonder if it makes more sense to go the other route and get a defensive coach in here, because the defense is already ready made to be great. That's kind of taken care of. And then you focus on, can we get the right offensive coordinator in here to help us build whatever offense we want to build with a young quarterback and figure that out? Because I know sometimes it's just like that pendulum of like, you went one way with the last hire. Oh, now you go the other way with this hire.
Well, we brought in the handsome analytics guy. So now we need the guy, the grizzled football guy on in here and spit on the ground and curse at people.
But I almost wonder if it makes sense to like swing back the other way in this instance, because the defense is the thing that's like ready to compete and be good right now. And then you can focus on building like out an offensive staff that makes sense for whatever direction you want to take this, whether it's Shedeur Sanders, whether it's drafting a guy, whether it's waiting until 2027, whatever it might be. I almost wonder if that route makes some sense. I know everyone's always looking to get ahead with the offensive coaches. I get that. But I just wonder if there's maybe that route to take in there.
The only bummer of doing that with a defensive-minded head coach is that your offense is always going to get poached.
Yeah, that's
the thing. If you know what you're doing, your offense gets poached. And so,
and that's what we talked about with Liam Cohen.
Dave Canales.
Yeah.
Going from Tampa Bay to Carolina. You could say the same thing, even going back to Dan Quinn and Kyle Shanahan, you know, with the Falcons winning that whole thing. Your offense then gets poached. It's why you saw a lot of these guys grabbing these offenses. It's such a fascinating discussion. But the other discussion that goes with that is, frankly, what I think a chunk of us, I can't say a lot of us, Browns fans are rooting for, which is a win on Sunday, and what that win on Sunday might do. So 216-474-0092 at the Sports Feller on Twitter. Folks, what do you think of all of this stuff involving the Kevin Stefanski coaching search, where this is going? And more than anything, I want to get Spencer's thoughts on what would possibly happen with Stefanski and the thought of the front office of Jimmy Haslam with both he and Andrew Berry. If they were to grab another win on Sunday. It's Dan Madigan, Spencer German, in for Baskin and Phelps, 92 The Fan.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.